One afternoon in the video store, the clock rang out for lunch. The owner, Dave, craved Taco Bell and a cheesy gordita crunch. Meanwhile, load of the waste of Morton Hoof sat alone in his room. And Morton Hoof had Bell to sell, but he craved the power of cartoons. Dave and Hoof agreed to sell Bells for tunes and tunes for Bell. Saturday morning apocalypse. Saturday morning apocalypse.
Hello, welcome back to Saturday Morning Apocalypse. I'm your host, David Snyder. I'm joined again by Lord of the Wasteland and patron of the animated arts and Shredhead. Sorry, that was really botched. And Morton Hoof. I'm sorry, Hoof. I'm really bad at introductions.
I'm going to get those turtles.
That's right. We're talking about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Season 1, Episode 3. Well, actually, should I say Season 1? I guess technically it is. This is like a five-part pilot series, which I kind of want, which I'll get into more detail in maybe on like the fourth or fifth episode. But we're on the third episode, A Thing About Rats. And right off the bat, so this whole series for the Turtles was based on my hatred of Street Sharks and the fact that I thought it was a blatant ripoff of Turtles. And we wanted to give the Street Sharks a fair shake by comparing their pilot series to the Turtles pilot series. And I think it's just, this whole time as we're watching this, I think it's really unique that, because this is classified as a pilot-like series, right?
I think so. I mean, it definitely has that vibe because the rest of the cartoon doesn't really... there are some interlinkings, but it's not as like blatant as what we're seeing on this episode. I forget which episode it is, but April specifically says, like, I haven't been at home since I met you. So, like, it's one continuous timeline.
It's just unique that this pilot series is five episodes. Like, I'm still having trouble wrapping my head around that. Like, I get that it's a cartoon, and it's different. You know, it works differently than live action television, but it's just such a weird, arbitrary number. Five episodes.
Well, five days a week.
Oh, good point. That's probably what it is. Yeah. Five. Okay. All right. Now it makes sense. Okay. Because again, like kids TV, kids cartoons work differently than like live action. Like back in the day, there'd be a new episode every morning or every afternoon or whatever. So, okay. That makes sense. Now I get it. Never mind. I was trying to like put it in the context of just a TV show. Like, you know, typically with a TV show, you have maybe... You know, you have like maybe a two-part pilot episode or something like that. Either a one or two-part pilot episode. And I was trying to wrap my head around it. But that makes total sense now. It's like a pilot week for Turtles.
Maybe. Okay. I mean, that's what I would guess initially.
Okay. All right. I had to put it in the proper context. Now it makes sense. But nevertheless, does this series work? Let's talk about it. Episode 3. The Thing About Rats. So if you recall, one thing I really disliked about the Street Sharks pilot series, which consisted of three episodes, was I hated the fact that at the end of each episode, rather than let's defeat fucking Dr. Piranha, they just fuck off. It's like they always just run away. It's like, no, like the way you're supposed to do it is you try to beat him and then he escapes or something and then you fight him another day. But that's not how the Street Sharks did it. They just fucked off on their own. The Turtles takes a more traditional approach to this kind of show. And it's like I just said, like Shredder gets away and then they have to find him. And that's what I like about this episode. It's them still trying to find Shredder. It's not just them fucking off and retreating. It's like, no, we got to get Shredder. We're not done yet.
You just can't appreciate the innovation that the Street Sharks are
the innovation of the Street Sharks. Arts. The heroes running away.
Pacifism, bro.
Oh, is that the ultimate message of the extreme Sheet Sharks? Pacifism is awesome. Pacifism extreme. You couldn't see it, audience, but Hoof just gave the peace sign. Oh man, but this episode's kind of fun because it's. I think it's so. We watched all five episodes, and this is the point when I think this. This five episode pilot run starts to sort of veer into superfluous stuff a little bit. I feel like some of the stuff they do, starting with episode three and then episode four, I feel like these two episodes feel more like episodes in a 12 episode season rather than what should be like in a pilot. You know what I mean? I feel like at this point they're already starting to like throw extra stuff in that while would be good in a season of a show, like makes this pilot series a little too bloated, I think.
I definitely see what you're saying. I think that it kind of works in its favor because in this episode, we get the first introduction of a new character that we haven't seen yet. Baxter Stockman. And, you know, obviously he's the guy who turns into the fly. And then, but yeah, we're getting introduction to new characters. And I can see what you're saying. I think, I don't know, I've tried to look at it both ways. And both ways I'm cool with it. I guess I'm just like, I don't know, I'm just a nerd who likes cartoons. I'm like, more characters, yay. Mauser toys, yay.
I guess what I mean is like if we're taking this as one story, which it is, this over spread across five stories, like these two feel like tangents to me. It's like, you know, they're after Shredder, and Shredder's whole thing in this episode is, damn it, my fucking foot soldiers are fucking up. Like my mutant guys, Bebop Rocksteady didn't do anything, and they really didn't do anything. Like, I felt like in that other episode, they did not get a chance to shine. They didn't get their Toka Rezar moment from the second movie where they get to fuck shit up. You know what I mean? I feel like they just easily were defeated, and it was a bit of a bummer. So Shredder in this episode is just like, I need to roam the city and just find someone or something that'll help me defeat these turtles, which is a really funny concept. And it's probably my favorite thing about this episode, the fact that Shredder has a comically excessive number of, I guess, drones just flying around the city, just looking for bad guy stuff.
Yeah, there's always been a thing in like cartoons and kids shows where the villains can like look at everything, but this one does seem extreme. Like,
yes. It's just him chilling in his throne room, just like watching TV, looking for bad guy stuff. Just like, no, that's not cool enough. Next.
I just have to think that, you know, with all the creepy ass surveillance that was in place once upon a time before the big bomb went off, that they watched kids shows like this. And I'm like, man, wouldn't it be cool if we could do that? And like, that's really what led to the installation of just the global security surveillance industry. So. I don't know.
Someday. But it's just ridiculous. It's just like one of his drones happens upon Baxter Stockman, who's just talking with this. I guess he's pitching his rat extermination tech, and which is these little mouser things with like, they're just basically like they kind of look like robot chickens with big chompy mouths, essentially. They're called mousers. And the guy throws him out. He's like, you're a fucking crazy person. Get the hell out of here. But I thought this was a nice touch. Like, the exterminator guy doesn't want them to destroy the rat population because then he would be out of business. I thought that was a nice little touch.
Yeah, a little subtle hint, for sure. But I think that, I like Baxter Stockman's weird. I think what you're saying about the third and fourth episodes being extra, I would probably agree with you on the third, but I don't think I would agree with you on the fourth, because we'll get there.
Oh, yeah, good point. Okay.
So, but I think that, yeah, the third one is kind of fluffy, like a little bit superfluous, but I'm here for it.
Well, that's the thing. Like, on its own, it's a fine episode. Like, it's a good introduction to Baxter Stockman, the Mouser droids, while they're basically like the battle droids from the Star Wars prequels. Like, they're not very tough. They're not, I mean, they're intimidating looking, but, and especially in big numbers, which you've seen this episode, but they're very easily dispatched.
Well, you saw that Shredder, I kind of like this, that because you talked about in the previous episodes that Shredder's kind of a doofus. So this one, he gets really eager to launch these Mausers. So he just uses, I think he says he launches 12. And eventually later in the episode, he gets 1200 or whatever. But yeah, he just launches 12 and against, you know, four full size turtles and a karate rat, for sure they're gonna get taken out. So
well, you know why Shredder does this, right?
Why?
He says so in the episode.
Ah, it feels so good to be so bad.
Yeah, and as ruler of the wasteland, I know what he means.
I appreciate that. So in this, it's a kid's series, so that's why I feel that's the reason why Shredder is sort of doofus-like in some areas. It's supposed to be lighthearted and fun, but I also appreciate that they give Shredder a sense of humor in this series.
Yeah, I mean, I think that kind of shines through. So I think we talked about this in Sharks, where they were having fun with it, but at the same time they maybe had too much fun, like they didn't care in some regards. But this one does feel like they're also having a lot of fun. Like, I think that's something that we resonate with, we pick up on in some of the shows, like the Wuzzles.
Hey, ho, those guys were not having fun.
You're right. Was intense therapy. But nonetheless, they're having some kind of indulging their creativity, and they're probably, having the behind the scenes stuff would be a little interesting. And I think that kind of comes through here in the Turtles too,
especially when the Turtles are after they get attacked by these Mouser droids after Shredder enlists the help of Baxter Stockman. He sends the Mousers out, as you said. It's like, I got 12. I can't resist. I gotta see him do shit. The Turtles, like I said, easily dispatch them. And there's like a really cool moment later, actually, when they're fighting the Mousers, where Raphael, like, in sort of a kind of brutal moment, he like just stabs the head of two of the Mouser droids with his sides, like directly.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
Poof, like that. It's really cool. But like, there's a funny moment when they destroy the Mouser droids. They're wondering what these things are, and they literally pick one up, and Baxter Stockman's name is just written on the Mouser droid. It's basically like a property of Baxter Stockman.
I don't know why they, like, it's so weird that they did that, and they even call it out in the episode. I don't know. I think that it was Shredder's plan to frame Baxter Stockman, because they show him like stamping it in this conveyor belt production line or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know why he did that. My guess is to frame Baxter Stockman if he got caught or whatever. And because I think they say at the end, like, Stockman got like sent to jail or whatever because the authorities didn't look kindly on destruction of apartment buildings.
It could, maybe Baxter just wanted that in his Shredder contract. He's like, no, dude, I don't want you taking credit for my Mouser droids. Like, you better stamp each one with my name.
That's true. He could have an ego too. I mean, all villains do.
And speaking of villains, let's talk about Krang a little bit in this episode. One of my favorite moments of this episode, I think we might have mentioned this in the previous one, but I like the infighting between Krang and Shredder. Like, I think it adds an interesting dynamic, but I just like Krang's voice. Like, one of my favorite moments of the show, or of this episode, is when Krang is yelling at Shredder, like,
Shredder, I want to talk to you.
What is it this time?
Why are you wasting time building mouse traps when you have yet to provide me with a body?
I wish they would have had Krang in the original live action movies, because he would have looked fucked up. And with a voice like that, like, it would have been disturbing, like Cronenberg levels. Like, I just, like, that would have been so cool to have.
Yes, that, well, Cronenberg, I was thinking David Lynch. Like, I can imagine, like, Krang being done by David Lynch. Like, because his whole thing is, it's very much like a overbearing mother, like, Shredder, I want to talk. Get over here. Why haven't you made my body yet?
I need a body.
I love the infighting, and I love the fact that Krang's whole thing is he needs a body because he's just a brain with like two little tentacle arms.
Yeah, Krang rules. It's kind of weird, like, thinking I had a Krang figure. I don't remember if it came with the Technodrome or if I just got it through another figure or whatever, but yeah, I love that Krang figure. He was so cool. Like, and Krang just looked creepy, but he was also like a cool toy.
Well, there's an interest. Krang's whole thing is interesting to me. And I like the fact that they only touch upon it in this pilot series of episodes. Like, you know that he was from Dimension X. And I think he said he got like banished or something like that.
Yeah, he's right? exiled from that. But they don't ever, even throughout, so by the time the 5-episode arc is done, they never say why he was banished.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's banished to this. That's why he, well, we'll talk about the implications of the banishment and everything like that in the next episode. Because there's no transportation yet.
But it's just, yeah, it got me thinking, like, how did Krang even find Shredder? Like, I imagine it was sort of a similar thing. Like, he's just kind of sitting, like, in the Technodrome, and he just sends out a bunch of these drones, and it's just sort of sitting there forever as these drones, he's like, find evil guy, you know? And it just, like, flies around and finally finds Himoko, what's Shredder's real name?
Orokosaki.
Orokosaki, yeah. Finds Orokosaki doing evil Foot Clan shit. He's like, that's my guy.
That's actually something cool that happens in... So, Krang, he usually calls Shredder, he just says Saki. So, I don't know. I think that's like a cool little touch.
I noticed that too. I like that. And I just... It almost... You know what? It's like a really cool moment. And again, I think it speaks to... it's actually kind of good writing. It speaks to the... respect, the lack of respect that Krang has for Shredder. You know what I mean? Like, Shredder, you're just my stooge. It's like, Shredder, get over here! I think that's the only time he says it. Like, I'm surprised in that moment he didn't say, like, Saki, get your ass over here! You know?
Yeah, it's so weird when he said ass in the cartoon. I was like, whoa!
Get your fucking ass over here, Saki! your ass belongs to me! But yes, I would love to see a David Lynch and or David Cronenberg version of Krang. It would be something to see.
Oh god, that just stuff of nightmares. so brilliant though. But yeah, that would be a great thing. I wish we would have got Krang back in the day when they were using practical effects, because we got him in the second one of the last
Michael Bay one.
Yeah, the second one. But yeah, to get him a practical effect Krang would have been awesome.
That would have been amazing.
But I think the Mausers are cool, actually, and it does, at the end of the episode, when there are, like, 1,200 Mausers.
It's a cool visual.
Yeah, it is. Like, it's just swarming their van, which, by the way, so the Turtles kind of just jack Baxter Stockman's van.
Yeah, I thought that was that was interesting that was the origin of the famous turtle van. They just steal some guy's van.
Yeah, it's like, okay, it's not even, Baxter Stockman didn't even go to jail yet or anything like that. Like, they just tied him to a lamppost and then jacked his van.
Well, I appreciate this. Like, so in Street Sharks, if you remember, the foil that we get for Street Sharks, Baxter Stockman and the other one, in Street Sharks, they basically just, it's not really explained. Like, their friend just happens to have this huge underground lair with all this, like, awesome technology. It's just sort of like, okay, that seems very convenient. At least in this case, it came as a result of the story, and they didn't necessarily come up with everything. They're just like, oh, this guy has this. Let's just fucking take it from him.
Oh, yeah, no question. Like, I love that fact that, and I love that they made one of the turtles be the one who practically made the entire van. So, like, that adds to the character and all that stuff. So I'm totally down for everything. But I was just thinking it was so funny because they basically just stole this guy's van.
It is great, yeah.
And then the other thing, too, is I don't know why they did this, but they pushed the van up into... Oh, I guess because all the equipment was at the top of the apartment building and they wanted it there. But I don't know. There's this funny visual of them pushing this van up the stairs of an apartment building.
Only in a cartoon. Yeah. I reacted to that visual too. Like, what the fuck? Like, I feel like it would have been easier to. Well, I mean, they are turtles. They're strong enough to put it up there. Maybe it would be easier. But then again, when they have to leave, they literally just drive it down the stairs.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty. A couple funny visuals, but yeah. And then the last thing. So this leads into something else that I want to bring up. So the Mausers attack and the apartment building gets destroyed, but the thing that happens earlier, if I remember correctly, is that the Mausers attack April O'Neil's apartment
building. Yeah, April and Splinter.
And the thing is that the apartment building is completely destroyed. Like, it's demolished. It falls to the ground. I'm assuming there April has, you know, neighbors.
Yeah, well, that's the funny thing. Like, when you see the shot of, so the monsters come in, they completely destroy the building, it crumbles down. When you see the building from the outside, it looks like a fucking abandoned building to me. it's like was April O'Neil squatting? Like, it's just, the building itself just looked like a decrepit building. It was really weird. But you're absolutely right. Like, was she the only tenant? Like, what the fuck?
I'm pretty sure she wasn't, and people died.
That's a lot of people. And yet, this stuff just isn't in the news. Like, nobody's talking about it. Like, a fucking an apartment building collapsed. Like, hundreds of people died. Like, nobody's talking about this.
The police are nowhere to be seen. Turtles are so stinky. Oh, I don't remember which episode this happens in, but when they interview the old lady, she's like, I want them hanged.
I think that's the fifth one. Yeah, like, we don't, yeah, just a spoiler, we don't get any sort of reaction from the city until the last episode. it's crazy. Maybe, you know what it was? It's probably all the chuds. Like, the chuds are page one, turtles are page six.
Oh, yeah,
six.
For
like,
sure,
the turtles have to work their way up to page one. But
yeah, tough business getting the spotlight in New York New Year's.
And you mentioned April. I think that's kind of, to me, that was sort of the other, that's like the side story in this episode, like, and something that will develop into an ongoing gag in the series and also in the movies. The fact, like, the idea of the turtles crashing on April, like, in her apartment, like, that is a thing. Like, when I think the turtles, like, and all the things that go with them, that is one of those things. The turtles constantly crashing in April's apartment, fucking shit up, destroying the place. And this one, they really destroy it. Like, they somehow do this, like, I don't know what to describe it as. It's like a true cartoon moment. Like, Raphael is fucking around with the tub, and it somehow fills the entire room up with water, and he just crashes out the door, water following him. It's an insane visual. I'm just like, fuck these turtles.
Well, because Raphael is reading the directions of a soap or shampoo bottle, and he's like,
yes.
And it says, oh, just a capful, and there's a baseball cap in the bathroom, and he's like, oh, just a capful. So he grabs the baseball cap, and apparently that is enough to make a room full of suds.
Oh, God. I would just flush these turtles down the toilet at this point. It's just like Leonardo's throwing shit, like his fucking swords at a door. It's like, target practice. And then you got... And there's another interesting aspect of this scene. Like, when Michelangelo's hungry, he's looking through the refrigerator for food. For some reason, April O'Neil has, like... stocked from top to bottom, nothing but pizza. Nothing but frozen pizza. I'm just like, what the hell is happening here? This is really saying something about her character.
We eat pizza
it's
here.
New York. But frozen pizza, though? Like, I don't know about that.
Well, just look at where she lives.
That's true. She does live in what might be an abandoned building. I don't know. Again, just the shot you see from the outside, it looked like an abandoned building.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I can only hope for the souls that were potentially in that building.
Because the news certainly isn't talking about them souls. They all died forgotten. Oh, man. But yeah, basically, they end up finding Baxter Stockman. They destroy the mousers and the turtles, basically. And I think it's funny. Shredder built, like, the Technodrome, like, slides under, like, this, what appears to be a haunted house, like, this old mansion, and the haunted house is sort of, like, the production area, I guess, for all the mousers. The turtles find it, they end up destroying it. And again, getting back to what I said before about a more traditional ending, like, Shredder gets away, the house is destroyed, and the turtles have to find him again. It's just like, we'll fight him another day, you know what I mean? Like, it's not the turtles fleeing, it's the turtles, like, he got away, we'll have to find him again, you know what I mean? It's just... always after Shredder. It's just that everlasting fight between the turtles.
I'm just going to point this out, though, that for three, maybe four episodes, the turtles are looking for Shredder. And they're looking...
Yes, you're right. Continue.
They're looking for him because they know about the Technodrome and they can't find the Technodrome. And I'm just saying that New York is not that big and the Technodrome is giant.
Well, see, this is what I was saying. Like, this should not have been a 5-part pilot series. If it had been condensed to 3 parts, this should have been the last episode of this pilot series.
I'm just thinking that I'm just trying because to justify you're absolutely why right. It took them so long to find the Technodrome, and I think they just got lost.
Yeah, definitely. They're not as smart as they seem at times, at least Donatello. But I absolutely think that this would have been a lot tighter if it had been 3 episodes. As cool as the Mouser droids are, and I guess technically as pertinent as the plot elements in the 4th episode are to the conclusion of this series.
No, yeah, I agree with you.
It's like, I think they could have condensed this into 3 episodes, and it would have made it a lot better. It wouldn't have made it seem like the turtles are just lost, like they can't find it. It's like, come on, guys. like you said, how big is New York? It's literally like, what, like 3 miles square or something, 3 square miles or something like that?
I think I agree with you as an adult, but as a kid, I would be like, no, more turtles. I want to see the Mousers. I want to see Dimension X.
Well, you would have gotten that in the season. Like, come on. Like, I really think, as fun as this episode was, like, it just didn't belong in this pilot. It should have been a one-off episode in a larger season.
I don't know. I respect your opinion, but I think that, and I think it, objectively, you're probably right. But it's okay. It's okay that's here. It's fun.
It is fun, you know, and because this is a cartoon and because this pilot series is taking place over the course of a week for kids, like, I'll allow it.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks, Dave.
But if this were, a live-action, serious television drama, this would not fly.
Noted.
You're on notice, Hollywood. No 5-part pilot series. That's too much. Anyway. That's going to do it for episode 3 of our Turtles retrospective. We'll be back next time with episode 4, Hot Rodding Teenagers from Dimension X.
Saki, come back here! There would be no problem if I had a buddy.